I want to start with a story. My story is this. A man that's overweight, really overweight, about 400 pounds, comes to a pastor and talks to a pastor and says, "Pastor, I have a problem getting a date. I'm depressed. Nobody wants to go out with me. I want to get married." And pastor looks at him and says, "I think I could help." Pastor says, "Well, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, be dressed. Somebody's going to knock on your door. Be ready." At 8 o'clock, the man is dressed up, you know, brushed his teeth, combed his hair a little bit, doesn't know what's happening. Somebody knocks on the door, and the man opens the door with a shock on his face, goes, there was a beautiful, hot woman in a skin-tight exercise suit looking at him. He was like, nervous, doesn't know what to do. A woman says, "A pastor sent me, and I want to tell you something. If you can catch me, you can have me for a date." And she took off running. The big guy made a few steps, couldn't believe his luck, and started going after her. After about a quarter of a mile or less, he was barely going. And this happened for 6 months in a row. This woman would come at his door, knock on his door, say, "If you can catch me, you can have me," and took off. 6 months later, after this happening for every day, a man says to himself, after losing 115 pounds, a man says to himself, "Tomorrow I will catch her." And so he's ready. He's got his shoes. He already stretched. Here comes a knock on the door. A man is already excited to see that beautiful face, ready to say, "I got you now." He opens the door, and a 300-pound girl stands in front of him. And she said, "A pastor sent me. And he said, if I could catch you, I can date you." The man looks at her and takes off. Momentum. Once you got it, keep going. Let's open to the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. That's the next scripture in our study through the book of Mark. Then Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and beyond Jordan. Those who were from Tyre and Sidon, great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came running to him. So all these people are running to Jesus now. He had to leave. He had to withdraw from the city and go to the Sea of Galilee, because all these people are gathering around him. So he told his disciples that they should have a small boat kept ready because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that many who had afflictions pressed about to him so they could touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him, and they cried out, saying, "You are the Son of a living God." But Jesus sternly warned them that they should not make him known. Today in our text, we read that Jesus' ministry of Jesus, is catching great momentum. Now, thousands of people are coming to Jesus at this point. Crowds are reaching such masses that Jesus has to withdraw from the city. The little city that he was in could not hold him anymore. And Jesus understands with a natural mind, if the city gets too crowded, there might be what? Chaos. People, stampede happens when crowds get a little out of order. And people are pushing, people are shoving one another to make it to Jesus. They want to be close to him. They want to be healed by him. God is blessing people who have emotional sicknesses. which is called demon possession in that culture. Let me explain. Emotional sickness is not demon possession, but it could be. Are we right? I'm not saying that emotionally sick people are demon possessed. No. But just like your body could be possessed by different viruses, right? What happens to your body? Makes you go all sick and you're weak and sometimes your body shakes a little bit when you have fever, right? Same thing happens to your emotions. When your emotions get attacked with emotional bacteria and viruses, your emotions go all out of whack. Your mind starts being confused. But I'm not saying that all emotional sicknesses are. But people who are demon-possessed are coming to Jesus, who are oppressed, who are depressed, are coming to Jesus, and He is healing them. Now the crowd gets so big, Jesus leaves town, says, He uses His natural mind. He could say, I'm Son of God, I can make this all work. But He doesn't do that. He says, let's leave this town. They go to a lake where there is what? More room. And the interesting thing that He does, He tells His disciples, get me a little boat ready. And I was thinking about that. Jesus, why do you need a boat? Because He was concerned that the people would do what? Crush Him. Right? That's what the Bible says. What are you talking about? Jesus afraid that people will crush Him? I thought He was the Son of God. Why do you need so-called insurance policy almost? Get the boat ready. There's a lesson here. Sometimes we say, I'm a Christian, nothing bad is going to happen to me, so I don't need insurance on my car. I don't need, you know, health insurance. I don't need anything, you know, because, you know, I'm a Christian. God is on my side. But look what Jesus does. Although He's the Son of God, all nature, all humanity obeys Him. Yet He still tells His disciples, get me a boat ready, because these people are crazy. They could crush me. They could go, meaning, get something ready if in case something goes bad. I don't want my disciples to be crushed. Then I have to heal them. Not that it's bad to heal them, but let's not even come to that point where we need healing. Not that God won't heal you, there's another lesson. But if we neglect our health, He will need to heal us. Yes, He could heal us. But Bible says, prevent that. Let's, for the purpose of prevention, before people get crushed, before I get crushed, let's get a boat ready so I can jump on it so nobody could crush me. And so God is blessing the ministry of Jesus. It's experiencing not only the blessing of God, but it's experiencing momentum. Do you know that God will bless you? Do you know that God will bless you? But can you turn that blessing into momentum? Well, let's discuss this. Tanya and I talked this week, and we know of a man who's very talented. So talented, it's like, whoa, he could do anything. But his business is very small. Then you see another guy who's not so talented, and his business is booming. Do you mean to say that God blesses one Christian better than the other? No. It's just one learned to take momentum and take that blessing and turn it into momentum. And the other one just does day-to-day operations. I had a friend who was starting a roofing business. True story. And he got lucky. He received a natural boost of momentum a week into his business. Guess what happened? It hailed in Sioux Falls. Just as he started his business, it hailed. This guy has had calls coming in like crazy into his business. And he picked up two jobs, and then he was working on one job. And he asked me to put my phone just in case, you know, he doesn't know what to do or what to say. The phone calls that were ringing to me were so crazy. I mean, we were getting 30, 40 calls a day. People were just hiring anybody. As long as you're not too far in, you know, into it. Because, you know, you need to schedule about a week for a roofing job or whatever. And they were calling me and they were asking, where is this guy? I'm calling him and he's not answering the phone. So I go on a job site, and I call him, and he doesn't answer his phone. I go to his job site that he's working on, and he's saying something like this. I'm sick and tired of these people calling me, man. Don't they know I'm busy? I have a job to do. They're distracting me. And I'm like, you know what? This guy is not going to make it. And he did. Shut off his phone. And I told him, leave this job. Go pick up 30 more. 40 more. 50 more. You can be booked for a year. And that rush, that momentum, died down. Everybody found their own roofer. And his business, after those two houses that he did, closed. Two houses. See, God will bless you in your area of your life. But can you take that blessing and turn it into momentum? Can you take whatever God gives you and turn it to last you a long time? Have you ever experienced momentum in your life? I have. Where can you experience momentum in your life? Your physical life? Your spiritual life? Your relational life? Your financial life? I have. And it's the greatest feeling, guys, in the world. It feels unreal when God begins to move in your life. But notice, God doesn't just bless one over the other. God will bless everyone equally. It's what you do with the blessing. Will you turn off your phone and say, God, that's it, I'm done? Or will you use that to push you so far ahead than you could have ever been? I've experienced momentum in my life. 14 years, our business has grown. Every year, it never went down financially. It always growing more and more and more. It never. First few years, actually, it doubled. I know what it is to have momentum in my life. It makes it almost surreal. You almost say like, I don't know, I'm not doing this anymore. It's like almost like a snowball effect. You know, you take a snowball and it's a small snowball. You start rolling it down a hill. Even if it's on a hill, it doesn't want to roll, right? But as soon as it picks up momentum, it goes faster and faster and faster. And then you're like, whoa, it's getting out of control. Guys, Bible says that God's blessing wanna move in your life and overtake your life. What do you think that means? God wants to bless you so much that it overtakes your life. You hear what I'm saying? Now, if you're a Christian, you have experienced momentum in your life, in your spiritual walk. If you were first saved, do you remember? If you are saved, if you're not saved yet, or if you don't know what that means, just don't worry about it. You'll get it as you keep coming. But for those of you who've been saved, the moment you get saved, what happens to you? New excitement, new energy. Everything new, you get momentum, you begin praying, you begin to read in your word, you begin asking God and he answers you. It's like, God, can I have a new toothbrush? And God says, yes. And you're like, whoa, it worked. God, can I have a new job? And God says, sure, here. And you're like, whoa, what's happening? New momentum. But if we're not careful, that momentum dies down. And we get sometimes as Christians to the bottom. And life without momentum sucks. It's depressing. It's discouraging. It's self-doubting. Would you agree? Life without momentum sucks, people. It's self... You start doubting everything you do. Momentum helps you go, 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 go. You don't have time to doubt. If you were on a weight loss program, have you ever experienced momentum? And it's almost like easy, right? Before we went to Florida, I wanted to lose 10 pounds, and I did. And it was like, in Florida, usually we eat a lot, right? Right? And when I came back, I weighed less than I went there. And I was like, how could this happen? Momentum. But then I came home, gained it all again, plus some. I want to ask Pastor Tanya to come right now. Yeah. That, give her a hand. Pastor Tanya, come tell us about momentum, about weight losing. Now, let me tell you something about Tanya. Give us a mic. I've been with all kinds of women in my life. With the skinny women, and I've been with really big women in my life, okay? And it's all been one woman. When I married her, she was skinny. When we had kids, she was fat. You said you weren't fat then. You said you were healthy. And now she's, you know, medium size, you know, good size. And Tanya has always worked on diets and been on diet. Tanya, tell us about momentum and diet.
Because I'm a pro in diets. Well, I guess I'm just going to make it short. My last diet that actually worked, and I did it with a friend, and I'm not going to mention her name because she doesn't like attention so much. We did it together. We made the decision, okay, enough is enough, you know, let's just do that. And, so at first it was like, okay, you know, and so there was that determination. And then it just started, the pounds just started shedding. They were just falling off. And at one point, we just found ourselves being, like, I would go to my mom's house, and I would be sitting there, and everybody was peeking out, which we always do in my mom's house.
Yep.
And mom was like, oh, you poor thing, you're probably suffering. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm not. Like, honestly, honest to God, I'm not suffering. This is not hard. This is so easy. I can't believe how easy it is. And so it was awesome. We both lost, I think, you know, not, you know, together we lost about 100 pounds, but, you know, each of us lost about 50 pounds.
50 pounds, that's all.
And then we had a little setback.
Don't think about it.
And we both went on vacations, and then I guess momentum just stopped, because on vacation
What happened was,
well, I was personally advised that you can't do it. You can't be on diet on vacation. Come on. You earned it. You earned it yourself. If you want a cake, eat a cake. It's okay. You're going to come back and get back on it. And I was like, yes, you know, and you know how you haven't had a cake for 6 months, you know? So I went on a vacation, and so the momentum, like, was gone. By the time I came back from my vacation, and my friend, she kind of said the same way. It's just, we said, okay, let's go back on it. So you go back on it. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is hard. And you know what the thing is, that when you're in the momentum, you're like your first step, you're pushing, and then you're just walking because it's rolling, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're used to this easy walk, you're used to this. And then when you stop the momentum, when you start over it again, when you think, okay, let's do this again, you think that it's going to be easy like that again, because you've been for 6 months walking. And then it's like, okay, and that's when you give up, you know, and that's when, so like, I guess the lesson that I learned is when you gain momentum, just don't kill it. Because when you kill it, it's twice as hard. It's just, it's impossible anymore. Well, it's possible, but.
Give her a hand. Take her with you. What does momentum look like? And let me draw it on the board a little bit. Momentum, your life is seasons and cycles. Would you agree? This is what your life looks like. You have valleys and you have peaks of mountains. You've had those experiences. Momentum looks something like this. When a car goes over the hill, so it's positive momentum. That's what it looks like. Have you ever been in life where you just stepped into something and suddenly you were on a hill? You didn't want to run, but it made you run because you were going down. Okay, that's what we call momentum, okay? And the point of momentum is, people, and I'm just going to give you a quick lesson. So you pick up enough speed here to easily scale the hardest part of everything that we do. Amen? Now, God will bless everybody. God will bless anybody. If you're a Christian especially, you are blessed. The blessing of Abraham is working in your life. And guess what the Bible says about Abraham? Everything. Abraham was whole. The only thing he was missing in his life was a kid, and he got a kid too. Okay, so God wants you to take that blessing and run with it. A lot of times, what makes us not run, because when we get down to here about, we start being scared. You start being afraid. I've had moments in my business, not like 2010, 2009, it got to such momentum where I thought we're going to crash. And I'm going to talk to you next week what to do. How to maintain momentum and how to not get it out of control. Because a snowball that's rolling down a hill, guess what could happen? It could get so big, it could just crash. So you gotta control your momentum, but you never stop the momentum. Because like Tanya said, whenever you stop something, and usually we stop over here, and then we wonder, why is it so hard to lose weight? Because you're down here. And it takes effort. Just like in this story, a man had some motivation to run. A woman. Hallelujah. I have a question for you. Have you ever experienced negative momentum? A person who got addicted to drugs and their life just starts going with this, picking up speed like a snowball, just in a negative way. Alcohol. People who struggle with alcohol here. I mean, those are really, these guys really have testimonies because they fought. They have victories, but it starts going down and you try to stop a snowball that's, you know, bigger than you. It will roll over you. It'll use you. And what do we say to those people? They have to hit the bottom. You have to somehow, they have to let it stop. Hopefully at the bottom you don't have those things that will pierce you. You know how in the movies a man falls down the thing and there's spikes and he goes... Hopefully that's not what happens, you know. If you're a Christian, you need to pray for your relatives. I have relatives and I have uncle who's been on drugs 25 years. And the only thing that saves him is jail. When they arrest him and keep him there for 2-3 months, he starts gaining weight again. He's doing good. And then as soon as he gets out, he's like, I'm a Christian now. I'm going to serve Jesus. Hallelujah. But guess what? He's over here. And guess what? It's really hard. It's really hard to go up the hill again. Have you ever experienced negative momentum in your finances? It's like you blew a tire. Somebody knocked out your bumper. You got into a car accident. Your transmission went bad. Your radiator leaked. And it's like, I'm going to have to declare bankruptcy or something. I'm going to have to live on the street or something. That's negative momentum, and we don't want that in our life. It's a miserable feeling. It's a feeling of desperation when there's no momentum in a person's life. It almost feels, guys, like a curse. Maybe that drink wasn't that big of a deal, but it's the second one and the third that had you going down the hill. Negative momentum is also active in some people's life. And sometimes those people need intervention. Sometimes those people really need prayer partners and accountability partners to help them get out of it and get positive momentum. It's like, have you ever seen a car rolling down the hill? If you try to stand behind it, what will it do to you? It'll run you over. I had this person's not here, he had a... One of his vehicles start going down the hill. And it's like you try to throw something under the tire, just keeps going over it. No bump is stopping it rolling down the hill. You don't want negative momentum in your life. You want to walk in God's blessing. That's why we're so tough on you guys, because we love you. That's why we tell you, come on, don't get yourself into lust, guys. Don't watch porn. Don't lust, you know, control your mind. Because once it... I read stories from people who say, I can't control it. I can't be without watching porn for like an hour. I don't know what to do with myself. Some people are on drugs. They start itching and... Yeah, that's the truth. Some people sat in my office and did things. Weird things. And it's hard because momentum is going down and you start trying to console them and tell them, come on, you can do it. But they're just going so fast down. See, God has delivered us from that down momentum. And He has put us on a new momentum. And now we have to use it for His glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, do you know that God's will for you is to have positive momentum? God's will for you is to prosper. In Joshua 1:7, it says this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it, this thing right here, this book, day and night, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, it's conditional, right? It's not just God says, you're going to prosper as long as you believe. No, no, no. It says, this book right here shall not depart from your mouth. And then you will make your way. God will bless everybody. But whose way is going to be prosperous? Who meditates on the word of God and who makes his way prosperous. You didn't hear me. It's God is just not going to prosper you. You're going to make your way to prosper. God blesses everybody equally. It's arrogant for me to say I'm blessed more than you. What do you mean? God loves you, me more than you? No. God loves everybody the same. But he says, if you look at this book, if you study and meditate on this book, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Now, we're not talking about financial only. But we're not excluding finances. When you're rolling down the hill in your financial life, that's not blessing. That's no fun. When your bank people are calling you, when cards are calling you, when your car is being ready to repossess, you have to park it at your cousin's garage so they don't come and repossess it. That's no life. See, God wants you to prosper in every area of your life. And my job as a pastor is to push you there. That's why you come here every Sunday, because my job is to help you be whole in every area of your life. Physical, financial, I want you to be debt free. Amen. I want you to be, and it's not hard, because once you make a decision of being debt free, it starts going down the hill from there. Hallelujah. Oh, another one. 3 John 1:2 says this, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Listen to the will of God for your life. Does that mean God wants everybody to be rich? No, not necessarily. But God wants you to prosper in all the areas in your life that you can. And yes, you can prosper in finances as well. Imagine not spending money on drugs. How much? Imagine not spending money on gambling. How much do you save? Thousands. If you struggle with anything in your life, you know how it takes your money. If you have lust issues, it takes your money. I know a guy who is just a bunny almost, like. He doesn't have a car now. He asked people to drive him to church. And he used to be rich because he was running around like crazy. So God loves you so much. Am I getting too strong in my preaching? Should I be a gentle preacher like God loves you? You don't have to do anything, guys. You can just come to church. And as soon as you leave, you'll be blessed. Everything, your bills, when you come home, check your mail. Check your mail. It's going to disappear. Poof. I had a guy who told me he used to check mail every day because he believed that type of preaching. And he said, nothing ever came in the mail. Because you have to accept bills. Yeah. Okay, so can I be real? I know you guys like my preaching. Reality. Amen. Hallelujah. So another area says that when you come to the council of godly, whatever you do will prosper. Psalm number 1, what does it say? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatever he does shall, say it, prosper. Not as ungodly. Whatever they do, they get negative momentum. It's just a matter of time. Whatever you do, Bible says, if you are a part of the council of godly, and this is, church is a council of godly, you will prosper in whatever you do. And how much can a drug addict give to the poor? Our goal is to help the poor. Our goal is to change lives. How much can you do when you're broke? Not much. That's why God wants you to be prosperous. Amen. So stop saying, well, I don't believe in that preaching type. I'm fine. I help people my own way. Well, great. But what if you could do more and you didn't do it? What if you just did minimal? What if you told your kid to clean your room and he just picked up one thing? He said, I did it. How would that make you feel? That's how your father feels. When you say, well, God, I helped somebody move once in 10 years. I deserve to, I do good. I don't need money. No, you don't need money, but you can do so much more. Amen. Hallelujah. So God wants you, do you agree that God wants you to prosper? So you would make your way prosperous and so you would have great, good success. Amen. Now, let's get back to momentum. What is momentum? Momentum is the speed of movement or force of movement. Let me explain it to you like this. Science class, okay? You have a 100-ton train going at 15 miles per hour. And you have a 1-ton car, same speed, going same speed, 15 miles per hour. Both of them hit the same telephone pole. When a car hit the telephone pole stood there and smiled. And the car cried. Mist was coming, its radiator. Okay? When a train hit, a 100-ton train hit the telephone pole, it made it feel like a toothpick was broken. And telephone pole cried, and a locomotive didn't even feel it. Thomas. Thomas didn't even feel it. Okay? What's the difference? One had force of movement, one didn't. But let's add another car, 1-ton car. Let's say Cavalier. How many of you like Cavalier? One person. All right. Imagine now two cars going at the same weight, but one is going 15 miles per hour and hits a telephone pole, and another one goes at 150 miles per hour. I don't know if Cavalier can do that, but and they both hit the same telephone pole. What happens? The one that's going fast has more momentum because of speed, and it knocks the telephone pole out. The other one hits the telephone pole and stops. Telephone pole is still standing. So you see the momentum. Momentum makes us do things easier. It helps us overcome mountains in our life easier. Now, as a Christian, God is not telling you that you won't have problems. But God promises to teach you from His Word how to overcome those problems and not even feel it. Imagine this car is going down the hill, picking up speed. It started going with almost zero, like 1-2 miles per hour. But by the time it was down the hill, it picked up 70. So now, guess what happens? It makes it easier to go over the next hill in your life. Amen. Amen. But imagine if it stopped here. Because it was so scared. And it stopped over here. Now it has to use extra gasoline, extra horsepower to get to the top. Some of you have stopped here and you're looking at me angry. But some of you stopped here. And yes, you will have to go up here. But once you get up here, I want you to push on it. I want you to use the momentum to scale the next mountain in your life. Amen. Amen. It's a spiritual principle as well as a physical principle. They work together. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. So a car gained momentum going down the hill. A career lost momentum after two unsuccessful campaigns. Get it? A basketball team gained momentum going into the second half. Right? When a team has momentum, what do we say? We bet on them. We say they're most likely to win because they have momentum. Especially if they win 5 games in a row or 8 games in a row or 10 games in a row. You're like, they're unstoppable. The team that's coming against them has to mess with their mind first. Right? So that's when they start talking smack. The other team. Didn't that what happened to the last team that Patriots and who was it? Jets? Wasn't Jets like talking smack to Patriots? And Patriots was in momentum for winning that game. And now they're not even going to Super Bowl. Now, in business, what is momentum in business? In business, momentum is ability to repeat recent success with ease. Okay? At your job, it's an ability to climb the ladder of success without effort. Have you ever at your work had momentum and you were climbing the ladder of success? You know, you were being promoted and people were just, who were really trying to be there, they were getting mad at you and you just had no effort almost. You were just riding that momentum. And the people are like, I want this job, and she's or he's getting that job because they had momentum. Amen. In church, we call momentum acceleration of your blessing or your blessing in action. That's what momentum is. Hallelujah. In the world, another way we call momentum is a mojo. Got my mojo back. Okay. Or on the roll, in the zone, catching a wave. That's what momentum is. It's when your boat is traveling, your sailboat is going, and the wind is blowing perfect direction, exactly where you want to go. It almost takes no effort. Guys, you can have a life of momentum. I'm serious. You can have a life of momentum. Please don't miss next Sunday as well, because we're going to continue on that. Now, does everyone needs momentum in their life? Do you really need momentum in your life? Guys, it's not only athletes who need momentum, it's regular people as well. Momentum helps you overcome distraction and defeat. Momentum makes your life easier. It helps you achieve your goals easier. Now, do parents need momentum raising their children? Yes. If you cleaned your room for your kid till he was 7 years old, and then you come to him and say, well, now you're going to do your chores. He's going to fight you. You're going to have this experience, your up the hill experience. So in raising children, I know that as a father, we need momentum. Why? We need to discipline them once in a while. We need to instruct them constantly. We need to reaffirm them when they do something well so they can repeat the same behavior. And then we gain momentum. Then it's easier when they get older. Amen. You tell him, clean your room. And he doesn't just pick up one thing. He actually cleans it up because you know, he knows you're going to check it. So parents need momentum. Doing homework. If you never told your kids to do homework and then he got an F and you come to him and he's in third grade and you say, what do you mean you got an F? That's it. I'm going to check your homework. He's like, yeah, good luck with that. You have no what? Momentum. But if you have been building it, and I hate something about schools. Like in first and second grade, they don't give kids a lot of homework. Like sometimes our kids come, most of the time, our kids come and they have no homework. And then when they get to third, fourth, fifth grade or something like that, they get a lot of homework. And guess what happens to the kids? It's like, I used to do good in school. I liked school before. You left your work at school. And now after three, you have fun and you can enjoy your life. But then, what do you mean I have to do homework? I hate school. I think that's what happened to me. It happened to a lot of you. And so my one advice would be for schools is give them homework from the beginning, something little and build the momentum, or don't give them homework at all. Come up with a way for them to do things at schools. Some of you like the second one better. Amen. What about your spiritual growth of your family? If you never pray except when problem comes, and then you expect everybody, all your kids, to be around the table joining hands and saying, oh Lord, please, and know exactly how to pray and not to goof around. They're not going to do that. You have to practice and build momentum. Let me tell you a story. I'm proud of this story, okay? In this story, I used to drive my kids to school, and I didn't know what to do. So I listened to the radio, and they would fight in the back. You know how kids, when they're bored, they would just fight and argue who's sitting where. And they would bother me, and I would be, shut up, in the back there. You know? And then I'm like, I hate myself. That's only like half an hour I got, because it takes about half an hour to take them to school. And I'm wasting it. And so more than, I think, a year ago, I started telling him Bible stories. And especially this school year, I said, okay, every time I drive him to school, which is almost every day, I will tell him a Bible story. And at first, they were like distracted, you know, because I was telling them random Bible stories. And then I ran out of random Bible stories. I mean, you got Jonah, you got Noah, you got David, and you got Goliath. And then you're like done almost, you know. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to start over and just tell them stories one by one. So I started with heaven, you know, devil and Jesus and God all happy in heaven. Devil gets bad, you know. Then I told him about Adam and Eve, how they were created and all those things. Then I told him about Noah. And then I told him about Cain and Abel. And I just kept telling them. And it got to the point, it was a lot of work, you know. After I'm done telling them a story, I go take breakfast and I'm like, oh, I'm tired. It's like I preached for 30 minutes, you know. And then what I started seeing is every time we would leave our driveway, the kids would say, Dad, tell us the story. What happened next? Because I tell them, you know, in chronological order. What happened next? And sometimes I turn on the radio and they're like, Dad, come on. Tell us a story. So before I used to need to discipline myself and remind them, story time, prayer time. Now they're like, Dad, tell us a story. And it's such a great time because now I cut the momentum and I'm going down the hill and I don't have to use any horsepower anymore. They're pushing me. And lately it's been so, as soon as we get out of our garage, they said, Dad, tell us a story. It used to be when we were driving already, Dad, are you going to tell us a story or not? And now, as soon as we get out of our garage, they're like, Dad, tell us a story. And I have an opportunity to use the momentum. Now they are pushing me. Not I have to push him and make him. See, you need momentum in your family. Get it? Amen. Amen. You need momentum in your prayer life. Have you ever, after not praying for a month, tried to pray again? It's like, oh, what do I say? It's boring. 5 minutes. Felt like an hour. Have you ever meditated on the Word of God and then you stopped? You lost your momentum? And then you try doing it again. It's like, oh, can this be any boringer? More boring? I've read this. God, how do you expect me to read this? But when you catch momentum, what happens? Prayer life becomes exciting. A time in the Word becomes exciting. That's why God says, meditate on it day and night. Not because He wants you to die out of boredom. You know, I'm so bored, God, I want to die. No, God is not cruel, God. He knows that after you receive momentum, it's going to be fun. So in spiritual growth, you need momentum. I don't go to bed until I read something from a chapter from the Old Testament. And sometimes I'm really tired. And my wife already turned off the lights and I still go, okay, grab my phone, go to my app and read it before I go to bed. I don't get up out of bed before I read something from a New Testament. That's just how it works for me. You don't have to do that. Find your own way. And listen, don't start by saying, I'm going to read one chapter like pastor. No, read, make yourself, I'll read one verse before I fall asleep and will think about it. And I'll read one verse when I wake up and think about it. And guess what? If you continue to do that without stopping, you will catch momentum and God will speak to you through that one verse. I'm guaranteeing you. Don't leave your house, let's say, without praying. You know how they say breakfast is most important meal of the day. If you have bad breakfast, the rest of the day will go bad. Prayer is the most important exercise. If you don't start with the Word in prayer, that's how your day will go. That's how your year will go. Amen? But guess what? Yes, it is hard to start reading, disciplining yourself to read the Bible and pray. But guess what? Once you catch momentum, it gets easier. And then it starts working in your life. Exercising. Can I talk to you about that? It is hard to get started. It's like open a door and start running up on a mountain already. It's like, it's impossible. But guess what? Then it becomes easier. And you feel like you open the door and you're running down a hill already. Have you ever run down a hill? You didn't want to run it, but you were... It's like your legs are going that way, you know? The momentum is working for you. Amen. Is this helping anybody? All right. Hallelujah. Losing weight, momentum, Tanya said, very important. I've experienced that. I got to do it again. It's like climbing a mountain. Jeez. Momentum helps you enjoy what you do. Some people, as soon as they lose a few pounds, they're like, I got it. Okay, I can eat this cake. I deserve it. Stupid, stupid, stupid. That's me too. So, talking to myself, it's very stupid because you stop the momentum and you put yourself, instead of being here, you put yourself here again. And then you have to climb again. You who are talented songwriters, artists, whatever you are, don't stop the momentum. Write every day. If you write poems, write a poem every day. Say, I won't go to bed. I won't fall asleep till I write a little poem about something that happened to me in my day. Imagine how many poems would you have? Momentum. Momentum. Guys, it's so important. Some of you made a New Year's resolution that you won't miss church this year. Guess what? As soon as you miss church, once or twice, you lose momentum. And guess what? Your spiritual life starts going down. Because you have nobody to feed your faith. This is what happens. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And that's what we do here. We speak the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Guys, are you convinced that you need momentum in your life? This is the last point and very important point. How do I get momentum in my life? Point number one. Before you can have momentum, you have to make a decision to do something. You have to say, I will pray every day. I will meditate on the Word of God every day. I will evangelize to one person. I will bring one person a month or a week to church. And you have to practice that. You have to make a decision first. Nothing will happen if it's in your mind. Have you ever tried losing weight when you pigged out? I'm going to start losing weight tomorrow because you feel so disgusted. Ugh. Famous days. Oh no. You know, it just makes you feel, you do it out of guilt. It's not a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. It's the fake sorrow. It doesn't mean anything. It's just you feel guilty and you're like, I'm going to change. Don't make decisions when you're drunk. I have people calling me, Pastor, pray with me the sinner's prayer. And I can hear they're drunk because they would never speak like that when they're not. And first I prayed with them and I'm like, Tanya, they're going to change. They received Jesus on the phone at 2 a.m. Now I don't even answer the phone because when they call, they don't remember what they did. Or they avoid me for like a month or two because they're so embarrassed what they've done. One guy came to our house at like 3 a.m, knocked on the door and he says, drunk. He says, I want to see your house. I heard you had a nice house. And he starts walking through the house, looking at it, and he goes to our bedroom. And I'm like, oh, no, you don't. I was ready to use force, godly punches, you know, in the throat. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was ready to take him down and put him in a nut or something. I don't know. My wife is sleeping. The guy's, and he's a Christian, so-called Christian. Pastor, he calls me a pastor when he's drunk. I'm his lawyer. I'm his doctor. Only when I'm drunk, though. Hallelujah. So how do you get momentum? You have to make a decision. I will exercise. I will get out of debt. That's it. I made a decision. It's not because I feel guilty how much I spent today anymore, but because I want to do this. I'm sick of it. I'm ready to change. I will start saving money. I will do 10%, you know, of my income. I will save. I will give 10%. Make a decision. I will start a business. I will go to school and continue my education. I will start giving more. I will start serving. Whatever it is, you have to make a decision before you can even think about momentum. It has to be a decision. I know decision doesn't mean anything, but it does really mean something when you write it down especially. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Write it with lipstick, girls, if you can. If you don't have a pen, you know, at home. So just do it. Anyway, just do it. Number two, ready? Momentum can only happen when there is movement. You got to start moving. Do something about your dream. Don't just sit there. I made a decision. Make a step. Begin to move. When I started my business 14 years ago, I was not even old enough. When I started my business at 17 years old, this is what I used to cut trees. Smaller. It sucked. It was hard. It's like climbing down up the hill. That's how hard it was. I remember sitting on a tree and a branch was already broken but still hanging. And this trying to cut a tree with this thing is torture. And it gets, you know, the branch gets stuck and holds your thing. You can't even get it out. After a few months, I went to this. This is upgrade already. Still hand. Upgrade. Then I went to electrical chainsaw from Menards. It cost $53. I still remember it. The Remington. The black one. You can still get that one. And then I went to better chainsaw. And now, next week, I'm going to bring you a chainsaw that I'm using now. Yeah, it's humongous. It's 42 inch. Some of you girls cannot lift it probably, and guys too. But some of you might not be able to lift it. That's how heavy it is. See, you don't start with a big thing. Some of you have dreams of a business. And you're like, I need a loan from a bank. I need thousands of dollars. I need a $1 million loan for my idea, some people say. Don't you? You know, I started loading branches in a van. Can you believe it? You cut a branch, you have to cut it in small pieces. And I had to load it in the back. Broke some windows, you know, because I would be so angry. Get in there. I'm excited now. I'm on fire. Oh, momentum. See, even in preaching, you need momentum. You do. Momentum can only happen when there is movement. You cannot have momentum in your life if you don't start moving. If you don't have movement, you don't have progress. If you don't have progress, you don't have promotion. If you don't have promotion, you don't have productivity. If you don't have productivity, you don't have a purpose. And life without purpose frustrates. Have you ever been without purpose? Just over here. Just down here. It frustrates. Yes, it's the easiest place. It's the less scarier place. But it's hopeless. It's frustration. I'm not going anywhere with life. My life is not moving anywhere. So my encouragement to you today, listen, get moving. Please do something with your life. Move with your life. Stop being scared. Start moving. Do something with your life. Create progress. Create promotion. Create productivity. Create your purpose. When your life is not moving any place, when you're in a job and you don't move, guess what? You could be in a job and not moving. It becomes boring, right? You start hating your job, but as soon as you start moving, even at your boring job, even at Burger King, you could start moving. Makes your life fills your life with purpose. It feels like, oh, something good is going to happen to me. Something great is going to happen to me. But it starts with small steps. Use small steps. Point number three. This is the last point for today, and I'm done. This is the biggest point. Use natural means to kickstart supernatural momentum. This is the main point. Write this down. Use natural means to kickstart supernatural momentum. A lot of times we want God to do things for us. Do you remember the story of Elisha? This is the last story. He was the prophet who had momentum. After Elijah died or was, you know, taken, Elisha started doing crazy things. He made woman's little oil turn into a lot of oil. Remember that? He went to a city and turned the salty, bitter water into a living water and resurrected the whole city. You remember when the axe fell into the water? He said, throw a little stick and the axe will float because it was borrowed. That's all Elisha. Now, Elisha goes to war with king of Israel and king of Judah. They all go together against five kings of Moab. They go to war and they have a bad army. I mean, good, bad, sick, you know, the bad, bad army. You know what I mean? That type of army. They go and they get lost in the desert. So what if you have a great army? So what if it's all amazing army, right? If you're going to die of thirst, what's the purpose? And king calls on Elisha. He says, Elisha, I need your help. Call your God. And the king was kind of wicked king. Elisha doesn't respect this king. He has to go because he's a priest. The priest has to go with the army, you know? And so Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 3, Elijah, he says this. He says, bring me a musician. King calls him, can you do something? He says, bring me a musician. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. But now, bring me a musician. Then it happened, when the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. He got inspiration when he was listening to music. Sometimes, how do you kickstart your momentum? Maybe you need a musician. Now you don't have your own musician, so maybe you could turn on some music that gets you pumped up and helps you, doesn't it? Maybe some worship music. Maybe some love music, you know? I'm going to talk about that next week. Be here. Bring a friend too. Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. So this is, hand of the Lord comes upon Elisha when musician plays. And Elisha says, this is what God says. Grab a shovel and start digging ditches. Crazy. In a desert? For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor there shall be any rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver Moabites unto your hand. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and you shall cut down every good tree and stop every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stone. Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by the way of Edom and the land was filled with water. Oh. See, sometimes we ask God, give us supernatural water. And God says, use natural means. Everyone, take a shovel and start digging. That's a natural means. See, when we do what only we can do, God will do what only He can do. Bible says, make your step closer to God. Come unto God and He will draw near to you. A lot of times we want God to give us water supernatural way. God says, what are you going to do? Do you really believe? Why don't you dig a ditch? Do you remember Naaman? When the prophet Samuel said, go and dunk yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and you shall be healed of leprosy. He says, can you do that? God says, use natural means to kick off supernatural momentum. Stop praying and saying, God, bless my business. What can you do today? What's digging for you? What's digging for you? You want to be healed? What's digging for you? You have a sickness in your body? Begin confession. You need a job? Go Monday morning and fill out 20 applications. That's digging. And God will give you supernatural. Because God loves to put supernatural on your natural. I have so much more to say about momentum. Next week we will talk about how to maintain momentum and how do you lose momentum. It's big because you want to know how people lose momentum. Be here next week because this series will change your life. I will be here for the next 4 weeks at least preaching to you. And after that we'll talk about choices. So be here for that. Now, where do you need to dig in your life? Where is the area in your life that you need momentum on? It starts with you doing something natural. And God will do something supernatural.